Good afternoon. What a pleasure to realize that there is somebody who is listening to me. Here, all the pews are empty. Nobody in front of me. I have to confess to you that you know, it's since last year I'm trying to develop my imagination. That's something what is needed. In fact, not seeing anybody and preaching to somebody, but I know, I believe you are there. You are there on the other side, somewhere there in your homes, and you are expecting to hear something what is important. I came here, and I do believe that God will be with us and help us a lot. And I do believe that He will help us to concentrate on something very important. In such a crazy world that we are living now, and such a crazy situation, what we can do? We can just think, you know, what is God expecting from us nowadays? I decided today to deal with you about the church, early church in action. Because I would like to invite you just to think about the first century. Just think about it, what's happened. All the apostles and the followers of Jesus were completely confused. In the beginning, they had the problem even in believing that Jesus resurrected. But after the resurrection, as they started to meet Jesus, they knew that he opened the way for something absolutely new in their life. Well, their life, in the life of the whole humanity, in the life of the whole world. But how to cope with this? What to do? They were absolutely lost. Even they were obedient to the words of Jesus, and they gathered in the upper room and prayed and searched the Bible and searched, you know, some scripture what were telling us about the future. They just didn't know what to do. So they prayed and prayed. Well, by the way, Jesus asked them to do it. And as He asked them to do it, Jesus was expecting that they will, by prayer, they will be closer to Him, they will believe, and they will be prepared for the special coming of the Holy Spirit. The day of Pentecost has come. They felt it. They suddenly were moved by such a power that they never experienced before. They decided to go to people. They came to the temple and they started to preach. You remember who was preaching? Those fishermen? Those simple people who were not educated? Those people suddenly with the power, they were preaching and they were understood by everyone, even people who didn't know the language they were using. That's what happened on the day of Pentecost. But that moment happened something greater, something bigger. I have to tell you that the book of Acts is a fantastic book. And I love and I prepared so many sermons based on this book. And this is the sermon that will help us to realize something. Because that day suddenly appeared the Church of God. Just remember, it is so important that we realize that the Church of God that appeared, the Church was born in power of that day on Pentecost. Just from nothing. Suddenly born and suddenly appeared. And realize that it's not everything, you know. This church that was born suddenly will leave the planet the way it came, suddenly, supernaturally. So we have to keep the same characteristic that they had before. But it's not everything, you know. There is something even more. The church was planted in the heart of God in the early past. God planned that to rescue, to save the people. He needed here the group of people that will be called the church. And that is not all. Just remember, there is something more. No period of the church's journey on this planet is more full of interest than the period that saw it born. That, you know, there was something unusual. There was something great. I would like to put your attention only to one passage in the Bible today. And I would like to invite you to follow with me carefully all the passage and look what is written there because it's very important. So let's make the first step. The first step, it is the church saved by faith. And I told you that we need to realize that we have to be exactly the same. That is the church saved by grace, by faith. So if they were saved by faith, how we understand it, what we know? Let us read the passage that is that we can find, you know, in the book of Acts chapter 2, and then the verses 38 to 41, the beginning. Then Peter said to them, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are after all as many as the Lord our God will call." And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, "Be saved for the from this perverse generation." Then those who gladly received his word. I just put it in the other color. Did you notice it? They gladly received his word. What does it mean? It means they believed. Well, each preacher loves to have such audience. I love to it that as I preach that somebody is coming and say, "Pastor, what should I do?" That's exactly what Peter heard. People came to him and I said, "What should we do now?" And he said to them straight, "You have to repent." He told them straight what they have to do and which way they should go. But then he told them, "You have to believe." And they did believe. That's what happened. They decided to follow. How is it with us? Are we just reacting for some questions that God is addressing to us? And do you believe? We're just not the head? Or maybe we're just not our shoulders? What he means by this? Well, the history tells us. Yeah, what the history tells us a lot is true. But what about us? Do we just accept the facts? Or we accept the person? Because accepting him, believing in him, means following him and just having him in front of us all the time as our Lord. That's the first characteristic of this great movement in the beginning. Do you remember? I called it the early church in action. Because the church in sitting position is not the church. The church sleeping is not the church of God. Church of God must be God, the church in action. So let's follow the next characteristic. And there is another one very important. This church was separated by baptism. Well, what does it mean that this church was separated by baptism? That's exactly what we read, you know, in verse 41 in the second part. And we have to read it now. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. I try to imagine always, you know, as I read such words from the Bible. And that's something fantastic. 3,000 people one day. Do you believe it is possible for God nowadays? Do you believe that it is possible that we reach so many people and they will follow God? Or maybe we say, well, there was a time, there was the first century, but beginnings, early church, they had something more, they had power. And we don't have power. Well, I shouldn't confess it, but it is unfortunately true. We need power of the Holy Spirit who will fulfill us completely and lead us and enable us to do something better and something greater and something braver and something unusual for his glory. It is possible. I believe so. And God needs every one of us. But I found in this passage another very important characteristic. This church was sound in doctrine. Just look, because this point will be shown on the screen. In the 42 verse, in the beginning of this verse, we can find something very interesting. What does it mean? What I mean by this saying, sound in doctrine? Well, let's read this little part of the verse. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Well, by the way, what the apostles were teaching? Do you remember? They were teaching exactly what was written in the Bible. What Bible? The Old Testament. I remember there was many years ago, as I was in England that time, and you know, I came to study in Birmingham University for some time, and I took some courses there. And during that time, as I have written a letter in advance to England asking for understanding that on Sabbath I will be not for any lectures, for any activities at the university. And then I ask also for some kind of a food that I don't eat everything what they serve. So they said, well, such a crazy man with such demands, so probably we'll send him to another crazy man. And they sent me to the professor of theology of the university, and I stayed with him during the whole time studying there. And you know what's happened? There was something interesting. Since very first day, very first evening, we started not only to discuss, but even to quarrel on some theological topics. But there is one thing only what I remember from these discussions. This professor told me one day, Roman, you read Old Bible, the Old Testament? I said, of course I do. Why? I read only New Testament. The Old Testament is rubbish. I said, how can you say something like this about the Bible, the Old Testament? He said, because there is no Jesus there. I tried that time, well, it was not so easy for me, but I tried to tell him that the Old Testament is all of Jesus, about Jesus, full of Jesus, of prophecy about him. There is a handbook for the Messiah, I would say even. There was everything said there in the Old Testament about the Messiah who will come, and he has come. He was surprised. But leaving this, what do you think? Are you also checking the scripture like Bereans? Are you also trying to read it regularly every day? Is it so important for you, especially you younger people? Do you really feel that just knowing and reading this fantastic book is something what you should keep in mind all the time and practice it all the time? That's not all what is written there. So let's come back to the another characteristic of this early church. You know, this time there will be the fourth characteristic. They were strong in fellowship. In the same verse, verse 42, we read very interesting words. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship. They loved to be together. I tried to think what they were doing together. In fact, they were strange people. They were not together because they had the fun playing on some games. Just understand me right. I don't have the problem with sometimes relaxing in such a way. But anyhow, they were concentrating in fellowshipping, being together, living together, not only because of the persecution. And they loved to spend time reading the scripture and checking from the apostles what they were teaching, what Jesus was saying. They were hungry of learning some more. This hunger of those people was typical for the people living in this first century. You know that as Jesus was teaching for these 3.5 years, there were crowds of people following Jesus in different places. And amongst them, there were some people who could write. And they were writing on a little piece of some writing materials, writing some words of Jesus. Nowadays, the scientists call this, that the source is called the source Q. And in fact, this source Q was used by all the writers of the Gospels because they collected all the knowledge. No one had the dictaphone, no one had the mobile just to record what Jesus was saying, but still they are giving us everything. Yes, they were inspired. And God cared for this to give us the scripture. But still, you know, they were checking everything. So those first Christians decided to study again, to learn again, to be sure again that everything what was said before was fulfilled in this new created church. They didn't call themselves church, but they had a beautiful name for themselves. They called themselves the Way, the new way of life, the new way for future, the new way to be overcomer, the new way to be victorious, the new way to be saved. Yes, it was completely new way. The Pharisees, all those scribes before, you know, they were so well known about everything, and they taught people, you have to do something. You know, with God for salvation, that's some kind of an exchange trade. You give God some good deeds, God was giving you more grace, and that's the way. In this way, you save yourself. They just put the attention on themselves. But it was not so what Jesus wanted. That's the reason they were studying, searching. What about us? Are we also strong in fellowship? Loving to be together because we love each other? Loving to be together because we have the desire to spend time together with somebody who is thinking like we do, who is living like we do, who is trusting God as we do, who is aiming the same direction as we do, how it is with us. Think about it, dear friends. But let's go to the fifth characteristics. In the same verse, in the third part, we read very interesting thing. They were very simple in worship. What do we mean by this? What is it that they were simple? We have to read this verse again. Look at this. They were devoted. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and to fellowship, to the breaking bread. Well, what was that? They were those famous agapas from the first century. The feast. They were sitting together and eating something simple. And even the meal was the kind of worship. Oh, yes. Because they practiced this, what Jesus commanded them. They broke the bread. And they always remember breaking the bread, the Savior who broke his body. They took the grape juice. And they always remembered that that's a symbol of his shed blood. There was all the worship. Somebody has read something from the Bible, and they were just concentrating on this. Every day, the worship. Every day, something. Do you practice it? Do you have it every day at home? Do you have a time at home to spend for the simple worship? Yeah, there was not liturgy, special liturgy. There was nothing special besides them themselves. They were always special. Because whenever they came to the Lord, they felt that that's a holy time. How is it with us? Maybe we think for different forms, just to make some entertainment with these, to make some more funny, that will feel better. I heard one sermon not long ago. One pastor said, it doesn't count what you feel. What counts is what God feels. How is it with us? But there are five characteristics that we mentioned already. You remember them? They were saved by faith? Yes, we are. They were separated by baptism? Yes, we are. They are sound in doctrine? Well, we know that we should. They were strong in fellowship. Well, not all of us feel this. They are very simple in worship. Yes, we know they were. How about us? But let's make another step, because the next characteristic of this early church in action was something what tells us that they were steadfast in prayer. Yes, the 42 verse tells us about it. Look at this verse. They devoted themselves, I'm repeating the former characteristic, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Well, how it is with prayer in our life? Oh, yes, you say, I pray always in the morning as I woke up, and I pray always in the evening. But praying in the morning and praying in the evening, there's a steadfast custom of praying, but they were steadfast in prayer. It means they were all the time praying. Exactly as Apostle Paul has written to Thessalonians in the 5th chapter of his first epistle. Always praying. Well, we have strange experience in it, aren't we? Haven't we? Think about it. Whenever we announce the prayer time, there are only the same people always who are eager to pray. What about the rest? We have the prayer meetings during the week. 5 people, 7 people, 10 people, and we rejoice. 12, we are so happy. What about the rest? The early church, and that's the secret of the power they had. They were praying all the time. What about us? That's characteristics. That's the secret of their success. Why to pray? To know Him better. To realize that He is listening. To realize that He is interested in each step of our life. To realize that He wants to support us with all the abilities, with all the possibilities, gifts that we have from the Holy Spirit, that we can do something for His glory more and better. There was a secret of their power, the early church in action. But they were also sanctified. Sanctified in life. The 43rd verse of this chapter tells us about it. And let's go and read it. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. That's something interesting. Why fear if so many wonders and signs were done? Well, how would you feel if somebody, the miracle is happening just beside you, or maybe in your life? Did you experience any unusual miracles that God has done in your life? I did. And I could for hours tell you about it and share with you. I did. I experienced His power, what He did in my life. And I said, praise the Lord. That was the reason how I decided to be the pastor. That's the reason I decided to serve Him. The miracles usually makes us fearful because they don't come from us. They're not our deeds. We just feel that He's doing something unusual. And I wish every one of you to experience it, because He wants to make the miracle. We are the miracles of God following Him. That's what we have to remember. That's what we have to experience. Yes, they were the sanctified in their life. Sanctified people. Are you ready for another characteristic? Let's have a look. I called it, they were sold on the gospel. What I mean? I didn't know how to call it. I tried to find out the special expression, but I did it. We have to read it because that's something important, you know, what we read, you know, in 44th and 45th verse. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common. and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all as everyone had need. You know what characterizes us, what is very typical for everyone? We love to have something what is mine. Isn't it so? This is mine, this is mine. It starts with the early childhood. As the children were fighting sometimes for the ball pen or for just the pencil. It was mine, you are using it, give it, it is mine. We are exactly the same the whole life. Only we change this pencil into the car. With the car, with the house, with something, you know what we have. We love to have. But those people were selling what they had. It doesn't mean that it's wrong to have something. I know that now I have somewhere listening to me people who have, like me, the house, or a car, or a place, or many things. But are we going to share? Are we able to say, well, there is something more important, let's sell this, let's leave this and concentrate only on our Lord? That's important. It's not easy. I know it's not easy. It is also not so easy for me. But still we have to experience it. We have to do something. That was typical for those people. They were selling things, bringing to the feet of apostles, and they were divided. The things were divided between all of them. Everyone had the same. You know what I call it? There was the pure, beautiful communism. Not the communism that we experienced, and at least partly I experienced also in Poland during many years of my younger years of my life. We knew what it means. We knew how it functions. But you know, this communism that we read in the in the book of Acts in the second chapter was completely different. They were sharing because there was somebody who needed more. They were sharing because there was somebody who desperately needed some help. Everyone had the same. And there was enough because they knew why they are that time there. That's not all. There is something more. And there is also something what is very typical for this church. They were singing from their hearts. I love those verses 46 and 47 in the beginning because they tell us something beautiful, something what it was so typical for those people. Let's read. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God. That's something, and that led them to another characteristic. Well, let's concentrate on this. This gladness, this joyful hearts. I look at some translations in the Bible, and some say the gladness, some say the joyful hearts, some say in different way, but they just express that they were people emotionally living. As they sang with joy. As they sang and knew what they are singing. They knew the lyrics because they were by themselves creating new lyrics. They were just singing about the happiness of salvation. They were singing about the following Jesus. They were singing all the time some deep things, and they sang also some verses from the book of Psalms. That's what they did. It doesn't matter what kind of melody we use, what style of music we use, but it matters if we know what we are doing, if we know what we are singing, if we know, we realize how deep are the message are and why we are doing it, because we are happy. That's something what counts. And that is something what we should know. Because look once again on this 10th, the last one characteristic. Successful in witness. In other way, I could say that if you are not saved by faith, if you are not separated by baptism, if you are not sound in doctrine, if you are not strong in fellowship, if you are not simple in worship, if you are not steadfast in prayer, if you are not leading the sanctified life, if you are not selling all the goods if needed just to share with others, if you are not singing understandingly, knowing what you are doing and why you are doing, you will be never successful in witness. But you know what 47th verse of this chapter tells us? That's the last verse. It is absolutely important. I will repeat the former first part. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Did you notice the ending of this verse? They were looking at people, and people accepted them. They have the favor, as we said, you know, favor with all the people. I can understand it. People were amazed. They were just different. And that's what should characterize us. Nowadays, even more than before. Even more following him and showing all the world around us that we are different and God will add every day. I could tell you about some last experiences from last week, from this week. One lady told me, "I want to join the Seventh-day Adventist Church." I look at her a little bit surprised. She said, "Yes, I want. I feel this is the place." Another lady also studying with me. Well, now we are studying on Zoom everything, you know. That's not so easy. I just dream about the moment that we can meet. And she told me, "That's the truth. I see the sense of it. Pastor, it's a little hard, difficult, but that's something what fascinates me. I want to follow." I know one man who was studying for so many months the Bible with me, and he rejoiced so much, and he's so happy. He's sick, but he says, "But I'm ready for Jesus to come. I'm so close with Jesus all the time." I could tell you about many other people. Yes, they are among us. God is ready every day to add somebody new. But are we giving the example? Who are we? You know, closing, I would like to come back to the one slide that I showed you in the beginning. Look at this, because this is something interesting. It tells us about the first church. Look at the screen now. The church was born in power on the day of Pentecost. Yes, but you know, the church will leave the planet the way it came. Suddenly, supernaturally, it just happened and will happen in the same way as he will take us home. The church was planted in the heart of God in eternity past. By the way, as the church was planned such a long time, God has the future for the church, and he wants to take us home. And the last point, very important. Look at this. No period of the church's journey on this planet is more full interest than the period that saw it born. And I told you about it. How was this church? It was completely different. No great cathedrals. No places to meet. Maybe somewhere in the nature. Maybe somewhere at home. But there was a power. No elaborate service, no ritual, no liturgies, simple. But the power of the word, again. Very little organization, but well organized since the very beginning. No seminars that train the future people, future pastors, but still great preachers, simple preachers who took the word and shared. Well, that's something that inspires. It inspires me, and I do hope that it inspires you also. They didn't have what we have, but they had what we don't have sometimes. They had power. There was not their power, there was a power of the Holy Spirit who changed them completely. Dear friends, how about us? We have to change this world before Jesus coming. Probably that's the last time. But we'll change not only by preaching, by example, by showing them what it means to belong to Him. Let us pray for this. Dear Lord, we just bow in front of your throne. In front of you, Lord, because we know that being in front of you, we are safe. We are safe because you did so much. How to thank you, Lord, for Jesus Christ as he came here to this earth to die for us, for remission of our sins, for just changing us and equip us with the power to live the different life. Lord, we desperately need your presence and we need this power. We just looked for some time now for the characteristics of this first early church, church in action. It was just enough of 69 years that from the little group of 120, they grew to 5 million followers of you. You are still powerful, God. So I pray for your power that will change us, that would make us similar like those first people who knew who they believed, ready for everything and serving you honestly. Lord, you see us and you know us better than we know ourselves. That's the reason I pray that they will touch our hearts and change us to be like you, to have your faith, to follow you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, dear friends. As some of our pastors say, thank you, church. I wish you God's blessing for the rest of the Holy Sabbath and then the power of Him during the coming week. May God bless you. Amen.